I wanted to piggyback off my neighbor's question here. I think all of us who've been kicking around with this stuff for a long time have had the experience, which can be tremendously frustrating, of as if there were a dimmer switch in terms of our direct apprehension of awareness. And it relates, of course, to what you were saying earlier about the apparent separate self is availing of the awareness that's always there. But in terms of our actual experience, we'll come to an event like this, and the dimmer switch will be turned up high.
Yes.
Then we'll go home, and somebody will say something that presses an emotional button, or we'll go to work and look at our bank balance, or whatever it happens to be, and the dimmer switch goes really low. Now, I understand what you're saying, that it is awareness that is aware of the either dimming or the brightening, but nonetheless, in terms of the experiential level of it, there's a huge difference in terms of how it feels. And I think this points to something I thought of earlier that I wanted to kind of challenge you a little bit on, something you said to the lady sitting the other side earlier this morning. You said something to the effect that the I thought or the sense of I is created in the mind. And my sense is that's actually not true.
That if I did say that, I was just using language casually. There's no mind in which an I thought is created. But I may have said it casually, but I have to trust your understanding.
Okay.
To know that I don't think there is a mind there in which the mind is that very thought at that moment. That's all the mind is at that moment, just that thought. There's no such thing as a mind.
Well, the
mind, sorry, James,
mind
carry
on. Is a function. I understand okay. That it's not really an entity, it's a function. But point being that the sense of self, it's a bit like one of those sort of knockdown dolls, you know, these stress-relieving dolls. You punch the thing and the damn thing comes right back up again. It kind of seems like that, or a ghost that won't stop haunting you. It kind of keeps coming back. I don't, if it was just something that creates itself in the mind in the moment, I don't think it would be quite so persnickety. I think anybody with a simple, you know, good sense of intelligence who hears these arguments, that would be the end of the arising of that sense of self. I think it's precisely because it's deeper in the structure of the psychophysical being, for want of a better term, and is reflected, albeit chronically and compulsively, in the mind, that it keeps, quote-unquote, coming back and dimming that sense of awareness.
Yes.
And, you know, in traditional terms, you mentioned the three states of waking, dreaming, sleeping. These correspond to gross, subtle, and causal in the sort of Upanishadic way of thinking. And it seems to me that this sense of self that keeps coming back is sort of emerging from this causal level, which is, quote-unquote, below the threshold of our normal awareness. And that's why it's so damn persistent and keeps dimming the light of awareness.
Yes. Yes, that's true. To use a different model from the Upanishadic model that you... I would say that we made reference to this earlier, that the sense of separation is 10% belief, 90% feeling. So the original I thought rises as a belief, but it is later validated and substantiated at the level of our feelings. So instead of just being a vulnerable, vacillating thought, it grows depth and substance by taking its home in the body, so that we don't just think I am a separate self. More importantly, we feel I am a separate self. And long after our beliefs in separation have been cleared up, as you quite rightly say, the feelings of separation continue. And this is it's a very common condition in our era, where the non-dual perspective is available. And many, many people have a clear understanding at an intellectual level that there is no separate self, that the separate self is an illusion. And yet, as you rightly say, that's not enough to put an end to suffering. In other words, that's not enough to put an end to our rejection of the now and our seeking in the future or in the past for happiness. Because by far the larger part of this imaginary self lives on in the body as layer upon layer upon layer upon layer of feeling. And as the layers go down, they get subtler, more nameless. To begin with, we can say what our feelings are. I'm angry because of this, I'm jealous of this. But actually, these layers, as they go down, they become nameless, formless, existential, sense of lack, the fear of disappearance. So it's true that if this, if what we're discussing here is going to really impact our lives, if it's going to be more than just an entertaining, wonderful idea, a wonderful new possibility, if it's really going to cut the ice in our experience, this deeper level, the felt sense of separation, has to be explored. And
can I just say something there?
Yes.
Because it seems to me that deeper sense, which I sort of think in terms of an energetic contraction,
yes,
is actually primary to the appearance of the sense of I in the mind, that's what's driving it, rather than the other way around, rather than the I in the mind coming first, and then conditioning the body.
It goes both ways. It goes both ways, but for most people, this is not always the case, but for most people who get interested in these matters, we explore, first of all, the beliefs in separation. I mean, for instance, today, most of our conversation has been exploring the belief in separation. And it's why very often it takes more time than just one or two meetings to clear up all the levels of belief, because that's where we first go. The mind rises up and says, no, awareness is limited, it's finite. So for most of us, we have to explore these ideas, maybe not fully, but sufficiently to loosen up the belief systems. And that's the loosening up of these belief systems open us at a deeper level to exploring the sense of separation in the body. But there is terrific resistance in many of us to explore separation in the body. Many of us will explore our beliefs in separation 24/7 for decades. Read books about it, talk about it, discuss it. But explore the feelings. The sense of separation is so well defended there. It's resistance. It lives in a fortress in here, down here. And so much of our thoughts and our feelings and our activities and relationships as an apparently separate self are designed precisely to keep these deep, dark, difficult feelings at bay. So as soon as we feel them rising, which we do in between the gaps, in the middle of the night, in odd moments when there's nothing to do, they surface because they want to come up to the light of awareness. As soon as we feel this impulse, what do? It's the fridge, the bottle, the cigarette, the sexual encounter, whatever it is for each of us, anything to, I don't want to feel this. And much of the imaginary self's activity is involved, in fact, all of it is involved in not having to fully feel these feelings. And for this reason, long after we have a beautiful, clear intellectual understanding of non-duality, the separate self is safe and happy down here or in here. And there is, even when we begin to entertain the possibility that the deeper roots of separation don't just live in our thoughts and beliefs, they live in our bodies, even then, there is a terrific defense system in place in many of us to be willing to go into the body, to be willing to come out of the head, to stop reading books, to stop endlessly talking and questioning. And as you've gathered, I value talking and questioning. I'm unlike many teachers, I value seeking and questioning. I encourage it. So I'm not knocking reading, writing, exploring. But it's a prelude, just a prelude in most cases, to the deeper exploration at the level of the body. And you're absolutely right. If we don't go to the bottom of that well of feelings, then no matter how clear the mind is, no matter how apparently free of the separate self, oh, there's nobody there, there's nothing to do, kind of mantra, these feelings will, from behind the scenes, unconsciously, they will dictate our thoughts. We'll continue to act and think and feel on behalf of a separate self, because this is where it's all being controlled from. Thought will, in order, and then we have a problem. Thought says there's nobody there. There's no separate self. And yet we feel ourselves thinking and behaving and acting on behalf of a separate self. So what does thought then do? Through some convoluted act of reasoning, it appropriates the Advaita teaching and says, oh, my obnoxious behavior, my suffering, my unhappiness is just an expression of awareness. There's nothing to do about it. There's nobody there. Bullshit. We're just fooling ourselves. The separate self has just dressed up as some pseudo-enlightened self and is appropriating the Advaita teachings in order, again, to successfully keep these deep, dark, difficult feelings at bay. And this is a classic thing on the contemporary Advaita scene.
Mm-hmm. That, I agree.
Oh, my suffering is just an expression of awareness. Of course, ultimately speaking, it is. But until the whole system is free of contraction and suffering, we're not entitled to say that. It would be better to be more honest and say, in spite of my clear intellectual understanding, these residues of suffering are still compelling my thoughts and, more importantly, my activities and my relationships. Why are there still conflicts in my relationships when I know there is no separate self? It's because I still feel that I am a separate self and you are a separate self. So here there's a crisis. Are we just going to carry on the non-dual mantra, there's nobody there, there's nothing to do, all my suffering is just what's happening now? Or are we going to have the courage and the love to face these feelings, to allow them to come up and to stay in place, not to reject them, not to express them, but to let them fully show their face, show what they're made of?
And this seems to have something to do with something that isn't talked about much in non-dual circles, and that's surrender.
Yes.
Well, there has to be a very deep surrender to allow that to sort of run its course.
Yes, yes, absolutely. It's not a surrendering, as I know you understand this. It's not surrendering is not something that the separate self does.
Sure.
It's a total opening of oneself.
A yielding.
Without resistance.
Right.
And saying, yes, I'm no longer going to use activities, relationships, substances. I'm no longer going to use non-duality to repress these feelings. I'm going to totally say yes to them. And yes, that is a kind of death, a kind of surrender. Absolutely right.
It's funny you mentioned that these things often come up in the night, because about 5 o'clock this morning, I was just sort of coming out of a dream, which had to do with a friend sort of feeling at a distance from me and getting into a car and just shooting off. And I woke up with this feeling of fear. And as I, you know, the mind immediately said, we don't like this. But then, you know, a deeper part of me said, just allow this.
Yes,
and
perfect.
It turned basically into fear of death.
Yes,
and
perfect.
There was this vibrating fear in the body. And I just simply let it happen.
Perfect.
Now, I was a little annoyed. It didn't seem to completely resolve itself.
Yes. You see, I'm glad you bring this up, because many people, when we first hear this teaching, we think, oh, everything should be peace and light and happiness. If that's what my true nature is, unperturbable peace, then actually, life's got rougher since I started doing this. And it's precisely doing this, exploring this. And it's precisely because we are truly taking our stand as awareness. There's no longer any impulse. There's no longer an entity present rejecting these feelings. So the lid is taken off. They come up. It feels worse. I thought meditation was supposed to be peaceful. This is just tortuous. There's this wave after wave. One layer of feelings comes up, and then sure enough, as soon as it's passed through, there's the next one, even deeper, even darker. And it's, you're right, it takes some courage. It's courage and love not to contract and say no, to allow this, because there is a bottom to this well. The fear of death that you describe is one of the essential forms of the separate self. The sense of lack is another. But this fear of disappearance, that I am going to die, is one of the essential forms. So as that begins to show itself, it's very good. And we may notice an impulse to avoid this fear of death. It's just too much. I'm going to die. Go for the whatever it is. But if we say no, if we totally say yes, and awareness is already saying yes to everything. Awareness says only knows yes. So it's not something we have to do, this surrender. Surrender is the nature of awareness. Awareness is totally surrendered and open, 24/7. Thank you for bringing that up.